invites you to a free online screening of the award-winning documentary No Visible Trauma, followed by a discussion with directors Rabinder Upal, Mark Francoeur, and special guests Marilan Lopez from the Defund the SPVM Coalition and others to be announced February 28th at 7 p.m. No Visible Trauma thoughtfully explores both the impact of and fight against anti-Black and anti-poverty police violence in Calgary, Alberta, while making crucial links to wider movements against systemic racism across North America. Audiences can stream the film from Friday, February 25th until Tuesday, March 1st, and join us for a free online event February 28th at 7 p.m. For more info, cinemapolitica.org, or find us on social media. This is a CKUT Radio co-presentation.
The following is a previously broadcast program.
Where are we?
What's happening?
It's dark in here.
I can't see anything.
Is there anybody out there who wants to talk to me?
Wait, I think I see the moon.
3, 2, 1.
This is Radio Moon.
It's showtime.
Welcome to Radio Moon, radio that's good for your mental health. Every third Thursday of the month, the Radio Moon Collective brings you an hour of radio from 2 to 3 p.m., created by people living a full life with mental health issues. And as the Canadian Mental Health Association informs us, mental illness can affect people of all ages, educational and income levels, and cultures. Today is February 17th, 2022. Radio Moon is a program that comes out of Forward House, a community-based mental health organization. We use creativity, comedy, poetry, personal stories, and music to explore the many faces and realities of mental health. Most importantly, we have fun doing it. We'd love to hear your voice, too. Feel free to send us an email at forwardhouse.education@gmail.com. We love hearing your feedback, perspectives, and thoughts. Today's episode of Radio Moon focuses on the theme of reading. That's right, climb aboard the Reading Railroad, everyone, or cozy up with a good book. The Moon Crew is passionate about stories, and today we'll talk about our favorite books, how reading has transformed our lives and taught us things about ourselves that we never knew before. We will also feature some original poetry and stories written by our own members. First up, here's a roundtable discussion on this theme with all the members of Radio Moon. Let's turn the page and dig in.
Welcome to the Radio Moon Roundtable. I'm your host, Nikki, and I'm here with Bianca, Ingrid, Catherine, Noel, Peter, and Jerome. Wow, full house today. Today's theme is reading, and the library is open. Let's hear what the Radio Moon crew has to say about books, reading, and their favorite authors. Let's get into it. Okay, starting it off, I would love to know, what kind of books do you prefer to read? Or what's your favorite genre of books that you like to read?
My favorite genre is the beat poets from the 1950s.
Nice.
My favorite genre is usually modern day, current times. Yeah.
And what kind of books do you like?
Oh, thrillers.
Oh, nice. How about you, yeah. Jerome?
I like science. Yeah, like, you know, what goes on in your head. Neurology, neuroscience, or neuroanatomy. Psychopharmacology stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. What about you, Noel?
I like mystery novels.
Amazing.
I love to read mystery novels like Hardy Boys. Those are my favorite.
I also enjoy a few writers in the Nordic noir genre. That's like mysteries or thrillers from the Scandinavian countries, and they're usually pretty dark, so that's why they're called Nordic noir. I started, of course, with the Girl with the Dragon Tattoo series, but I also read a series, the Harry Hole series by Jo Nesbø, and who I believe he's Norwegian. I also read the I like reading the UC Adler Olsen series, the Q Department Q. I like that. And of course Louise Penny, I've read all her novels.
Sweet. Those are some good. So Peter just name dropped a few good mystery authors and some people he's into. Do other people have favorite authors that they love to read?
I personally have one author. Well, I used to like Sidney Sheldon, but as I got older, like now I'm into James Patterson. Mm-hmm. Like his novels, I just devour them. But I search it out, but I also find that he also assists other writers. Like he lends his name to newer writers, newer authors. So he builds them up. He's also empowering others. So I see that as a very good quality with him too. So I like this author. He's very good.
My favorite novelist of all time, actually, is Christopher Pike.
Ooh.
That's also thriller, and it's sort of fantasy, and it's the most fascinating thing. He's my favorite novelist. Even though he writes sort of aims towards a teenage audience, I have too much respect for him anyway.
Mm-hmm. A lot of like mystery thriller fans in the bunch, yeah. And I think, you know, everyone loves a page turner.
I like my author is not a novelist. He's a researcher and he writes science books. His name is Stahl, Stephen M. Stahl.
Mm. Awesome. What do you like about him?
Well, his books are really well illustrated. And he's a member of the Neuroscience Education Institute, and he has somebody who illustrates everything. Like you read through his book and you read part of the you read the text, then you look at the drawings. I read through looking at the drawings, and then you look at both at the same time, and then you take a test at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Peter, did you want to shout out another one?
Kurt Vonnegut, hands down. He's just amazing. He's such a great writer. And he's quite the humanist too. He's not a believer for sure. Anyhow. I like him. He's got a great sense of humor.
Amazing. So another question for you guys is, do you have a book that you go back to over and over? What's a book in your life that you've probably read the most often? Or maybe you're not into rereading books at all. That is also worth mentioning. But is there a book you guys have gone back to over and over?
Yeah, there's a mystery. Mystery novels that I was talking about earlier, I go back and reread them sometimes.
Do you have a collection of them, Noel, at your place? Or
Yeah, quite a collection.
Very nice.
Anyone else?
I can't go back and read a novel that I've read, because no matter how much time has passed, I know what's going on. It's very dull, because I end up turning the pages and skipping ahead. And it's like, oh, I remember this, skip ahead. Oh, I know what's going to happen, skip ahead. And it's like, it doesn't do it for me the second time. I need it to be fresh. Mm-hmm. I need it to come across as like, I don't know what's going on. I need to hold that mystery.
It's funny because I'm the same way. I can't stand reading books twice. But my memory is also not too well, so I don't remember half the novel, but I still don't want to read it, so that's my problem. Like, no, I don't know the exact extent of the plot anymore, but I don't want to read it anymore.
Well, let me see. Christopher Pike's book, The Midnight Club, I think I read about 11 times.
Mm.
Wow.
That was nice. There's books, it's true, that I don't feel like going through 20 times, but that one I went through 11. And usually I just get very excited to pick up the next book.
When I was in high school, I read Dune. I got it at the Scholastic Book Club in grade 10. And then I read it just about every year after that for 25, maybe 30 years. And in grade 11, I read The Lord of the Rings. I started in grade 8, but I couldn't get past the first half of the Two Towers. I got to that part and couldn't go on. So I waited. And then after grade 11, I picked it up and I read it. And then I had three copies of the trilogy plus The Hobbit myself and wore them out. I read it so many times. And, you know, there, of course, then not even to mention Harry Potter, I can read two or three times a year, and I go through the whole series to reread it.
Nice. That actually brings me to a related question. Peter, you mentioned a few different books, Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, Dune, that have been made into movies. I wonder what your take is on that. Do you would you prefer to see the movie version of those stories, or do you prefer to read the book?
I never judge a book by its movie.
What do you guys think of the film adaptations of those ones or other movies?
The movies never live up to it. The movies are always a letdown.
I normally prefer the book to the movie, but I really enjoy reading the book and then seeing the movie, because I see the movie as an adaptation. I like to see what did the producer of the movie think about each character and what went on. It's fun just to know what someone else thought of the book.
Yeah, I just want to say that I see the movie of books that I haven't even read. So, you know, it's good to see the movie sometimes.
Having read Lord of the Rings so many times, by the time the movie came out, I said, I don't want to see it because they're just going to ruin it for me. It's not going to be the way I imagine it. So, like, I'm just going to stay away from it. And all these years later, I still haven't seen any of the Lord of the Rings or the Hobbit. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy like that.
Preserve your imagination, Peter, right? What do you guys find more exciting, reading books or watching television?
In television. I like watching television because I get to see the action. I'm more of a visual person. Like, I'll read if I have to. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to, I like the excitement and the noise. I'm attracted to shiny things and noise.
Totally. Others?
Well, you can watch videos on YouTube as well as watch TV. I think that's useful. You know, if you want to learn about something. It's not just reading a book or watching TV on a documentary. You can watch a YouTube video and you can go back and forth.
I like watching television. It brings back memories.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Lucy. Know, those old sitcoms.
Yeah, for sure. TV can be comforting and stimulating in a way that, you know, in a way that books can't. At the same time, I think some people find books incredibly comforting and stimulating. Is there anyone who does prefer reading to TV?
I do.
Yeah.
I haven't had a TV since back in 2009. For me, I'm not snobbish about it. I don't think like it's poor or anything like that. It just, with my ADD, my attention isn't grabbed by it, you know, mm-hmm. Whereas when I'm reading, even like Harry Potter or any of those other books I've already before, I can get so engrossed in them that I missed whole metro stops, you know. But the television, no, it just doesn't capture me. It doesn't hold me like reading does.
I most definitely prefer reading to television, but I also respect deeply television as a great learning tool. It's not reading to me, but it's something I really like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, good thing we don't have to choose, right? next question. Has a book ever changed your life?
Well, I'd say, actually, looking back, the books that most changed my life was the Narnia series. Yeah, they inspired me to care and take adventure as a chance to help people.
There's two books that really changed my life. One of them was by Evanya van Zant. I can't pronounce her name that well. It's Peace from Broken Pieces, and it's about how you get through life, how you get through hard times no matter what you're facing, and how you triumph through it. And she uses herself as an example. And it taught me how to be strong and gave me resilience. And I really appreciated that. And this one, Passages Through Recovery, and it's by Terence T. Yoshki. And he teaches you how to, that life is a process in which things happen that we can't control, but we can control how we respond to them. And it's all a process of how we recover. Mm-hmm. And the manner in which we recover, how it enriches our lives. So these two books were really my coming in of age, like about 20 years ago. You know, they were very important in my life. They turned things around for me. I really like them.
Thanks for sharing that, Ingrid. The first book, what was it called? Peace in Pieces, or?
Peace from Broken Pieces. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Thanks, Ingrid. Yeah, books can be really transformative in our lives, mm-hmm. our personal healing journeys, right?
Yeah.
Anyone else on that one?
Yeah, the book that really influenced me is A Guide to the Good Life, The Ancient Art of Stoic Joy by William B. Irvine, I think. Anyhow, it is a quick overview of Stoicism for modern day, and I really enjoy his work. I find by following that, I have more tranquility in my life, and I'm not given over to my anger I used to have. I've managed to shed that.
Yeah, that's really cool to hear, Peter. Okay, I have one last question. Just because I can't resist. Is there a book inside of you that you want to write?
Yes, there is a book inside of me that I would like to write. But I just haven't gotten around to working it out. I guess everybody has a book inside them that they would like to write.
Noelle, I don't want you to give any spoilers necessarily, but like, what would your book be about? What's the book inside of you?
Autobiography.
Memoir?
About me.
I would so read that, Noelle. Catherine?
I have a book inside right now that I'm planning to write. It's about some foreign dolls, you know, like dolls from different nationalities. Mm-hmm. So I have them, basically all the nationalities of the world, and I'm going to write a book about them interacting.
Can't wait to read it. Well, guys, thank you so much for participating in the roundtable this month on that fascinating topic of reading. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. This is Radio Moon.
Next, we have White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. The song was dedicated to Lewis Carroll's Alice in Wonderland from 1871. The band commented that all fairy tales read to little girls usually have a Prince Charming who comes and saves them at the end. But the story of Alice did not. She was on her own in a very strange place, but she kept going and followed her curiosity. A lot of women have taken a message from the story and how you can push your own agenda and move forward on your own without any Prince Charming by your side. So let's take a listen to Jefferson Airplane's White Rabbit.
Chasing rabbits, and you know you're selling my hookah, smoking caterpillar has given you the call, call Alice. When she was just small,
welcome back. You're listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. You just heard White Rabbit by Jefferson Airplane. Today on Radio Moon, we are, of course, focusing on the theme of reading. Reading is one of those great ways that we can self-educate. And our next contributor, Jerome, has a piece just all about that. Take it away, Jerome.
Hello. This is Jerome Kearns, and I'm going to tell you how much I like to read. First, you need a goal. When I was an undergraduate, I had fallen behind for several years because I had a serious mental health problem, but I still wanted to learn accounting. Nobody was going to tell me the answers, so I had to teach myself. I purchased several subscriptions and found out what the correct accountancy books were by talking to CA students, professors, and bookstore clerks. I finished my degree with an A-minus average and wrote the CGA exams successfully. Years went by and I worked in a huge general hospital where there was a health science library. By now, I was thinking about psychiatry. There was an old compilation called the Oxford Companion to Medicine. In particular, there was an article about psychiatry whose author was Michael Gelder, MD, an Oxford professor. By the way, my advisor at McGill was the Associate Dean of Management, and he was an Oxford graduate named Professor Teitelbaum. I visited university bookstores and gradually bought 26 books over 24 years. The first was the Oxford Textbook of Psychiatry by Michael Gelder et al. Others, including Synopsis of Psychiatry by Kaplan and Sadek, were being used in most medical schools in North America. I learned this from a book peddler whose company was called Mosby. I also read The External Audit, which was co-authored by Professor Teitelbaum. When I was an undergraduate, I had a seminar professor who taught me that if you really want to learn about something, you should write about it. Now, I decided I would write about diagnosis and misdiagnosis in psychiatry. I wanted to write about cells and brain chemistry, but my reading material was insufficient. So I acquired texts on psychopharmacology by Brian Leonard and Stephen M. Stahl. Both of these lecture at Cambridge. Stahl published the Clozapine Handbook in 2019, as well as many others beforehand. He also published hundreds of studies. I became interested in the physical location of the thalamus in the brain. This took me outside of psychopharmacology and into the board review series of neuroanatomy. This in turn took me to clinical neurology. For both of these, I use YouTube for extra knowledge. Do you read anything at all? My taxation professor at McGill had asked me as part of the accounting curriculum. I got 87%. See what keeners can accomplish?
Thank you, Jerome. Up next, here is a new poem by our very own Noel. Take it away, Noel.
Hi, my name is Noel. And today I have a poem. It's called Reading. Never you judge a book by its cover. You can have fun, but only with another lover. Magazines are good reading items, but you should know where it all stems. I like to read novels, and I also like to read comics. I prefer good, wholesome books. I am not one to mimic. Reading can help you get to sleep. You can do this instead of counting sheep. I like reading shopping bags. They have good taste, only the only ones that lags. You're listening to Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM, online CKUT.ca. Thank you.
Thanks, Noel. For our next song, we have Sam Cooke's What a Wonderful World. Sam Cooke composed this song with the idea that neither knowledge nor education can dictate feelings, but that love can make the world a wonderful place. Let's listen to What a Wonderful World.
Don't know much about history, don't know much biology, don't know much about a science book, don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me too, what a wonderful world this would be. Don't know much about geography, don't know much trigonometry, don't know much about algebra, don't know what a sliding rule is for, but I do know one and one is two, and if this one could be with you, what a wonderful world this would be. Now I don't claim to be an A student, but I'm trying to be, for maybe by being an A student, baby, I can win your love for me. Don't know much about history, don't know much biology, don't know much about a science book, don't know much about the French I took, but I do know that I love you, and I know that if you love me,
welcome back. This is Radio Moon, radio that's good for your mental health. Next up, here's Ingrid with her very thought-provoking essay on the power of words. Let's take a listen.
Words can be used to persuade mass groups of people to move in positive directions, while words can also motivate people towards opposite actions. I've chosen two men who are well-known worldwide for their politics and beliefs. The quotes I've chosen are their famous quotes. Personally selected them because the statements were made by these charismatic men who motivated people to move at the stake of their own lives based on these powerful words. The statements, as simple as these, quote, faith is taking the first step even when you don't know where the whole staircase goes. And God and beast, that's what the world is made of. Just these words being used, the first statement fills you with hope, whereas the second one is cold, very black and white. I looked at their views on human beings as a whole and found these quotes. Humanitarianism is an expression of stupidity and cowardice. The very first essential for success is perpetual and constant regular employment of violence. Are you beginning to get the image of this individual? Perhaps this person will be easier to figure out. I've decided to stick with love. Hate is too great a burden. And forgiveness is not an occasional act. It's a consistent attitude. These are powerful words from powerful men. The construction of the words The convincing and charismatic tone of voice enabled these men to deliver their beliefs and have permanent changes in the world. These two men are Martin Luther King Jr. and Adolf Hitler. If I've learned anything from my findings, is that words can heal, and words can also be used to cause irreparable damage. We must never take our words for granted. If you use your words carelessly and believe that they are harmless, keep in mind they may be overheard, misinterpreted, taken out of context, and created into something beyond your control. Make no mistake about it. Your words have power, so use them wisely.
Thanks, Ingrid. Speaking of the power of words, next up, here's Catherine with a powerful new poem. Take it away, Catherine.
Your life is a poem. It's a difficult one to write. And if your heart is good, then I can say you are literate. And if your heart is bad, you must memorize deep inside your heart that life is about good. And then the next line can begin.
Kate Bush's Wuthering Heights was written when Bush was about 18 years old, within a few hours late into the night. She was inspired after watching the BBC adaptation of Wuthering Heights from 1847. She then read the book and also discovered that she also shared a birthday with Emily Bronte. So she had a big fascination with it. Let's take a listen.
Who it gets done?
Welcome back to Radio Moon. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. That was Kate Bush with Wuthering Heights. Next up on our show, we welcome back Peter to the mic with his piece on rereading and why he loves it. Take it away, Peter.
I was told that this month's theme was reading. I was primed. Ever since I learned to read, if I don't have a current book on the go, I feel naked. That is, I'm missing something very important. From high school to my early 60s, I amassed somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 books. Mostly they were science fiction. I had other genres like war stories, spy thrillers, mysteries, biographies, science books, and cookbooks. If I had finished reading a book and I did not have a new book on hand, I would go to my personal library and choose one that I had read beforehand. In grade 10, I bought Frank Herbert's Dune. I reread it every year after that for maybe 30 years. The summer after grade 11, I read The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings trilogy. I read that every year for 25 years too. Some people asked how I could read a book again. I told them, sure, the book was the same as when I read it the first time. However, I was the same person who read it the first time. I mentioned this to a friend of mine who loves reading, and he said, you know, when they say that to me, I can't see how you can reread a book. He said, when you buy a record album, do you only listen to it once? If it's good enough to experience one time, it'll be worth experiencing it a second time. So for me, rereading a book was like meeting old friends in the characters in it. I always saw them differently than in my first read through. It was comfortable being with my old friends. And as fate would have it, I had the misfortune of living in an apartment that was infested with black mold. After the city inspector saw my living conditions, he ordered me evacuated. The place wasn't fit to live in. I was forbidden to take anything that had marinated in that mold-laden air. My clothes could be laundered. All the kitchen stuff, being glass, plastic, or metal, could come with me. All of my furniture, save my glass and computer desk, had to be abandoned. Likewise, my collection over 400 LP albums. Ever since then, I've been loath to start collecting books. I've been very conservative about that, about what I buy. To feed my reading habit, I now depend on the library. Another perennial was A Stranger in a Strange Land by Robert Heinlein, as well as The Moon is a Harsh Mistress and a few of his other novels. Of course, there is the Harry Potter series. When new installment came out, I would start the series from Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone over. I reread them suckers even more than once a year. Once the gap between readings was only one book between them. Other books were reread when they caught my eye on the shelves or some life or news event brought them to mind. My other habit, other than rereading, is completing series. I have read all 17 from Louise Penny's Inspector Gamache mysteries. I put any new books in the other series on reserve at the library. I started reading Nordic Noir series after starting with The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo trilogy. I reserve books using the catalog Nelligan of the Montreal Library System. I still get a lot of pleasure out of rereading, and I'll keep doing it. This is Peter for Radio Moon.
We're going to give a listen to Johnny Can't Read by Don Henley. The song focuses upon reading literacy and how it reflects Don Henley's respect and overall love for reading.
Summer is over and it's gone to
All right, you just heard Don Henley with Johnny Can't Read. This is Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Next up, here's Catherine with another poem, this time about reading. Here's Catherine.
You put the letters together to make words. You put the words together to make sentences, and then read the periods at the ends, and then you read again. You put the sentences together to make paragraphs. Then you put the paragraphs together to make chapters. You put the chapters together to make stories. But please make them about lessons, about all of us together, and read.
Thanks, Catherine. Next up, we're going to hear a lesser-known song from 90s band Marcy Playground. It's called A Cloak of Elven Kind, which is a rather obscure reference to an elven-made cloak in Dungeons & Dragons. Let's take a listen. This is Radio Moon on CKUT 90.3 FM. We're nearing the end of this month's broadcast, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Did you ever wonder why you sometimes get mentally ill, even though you take your medications? Well, here is your answer. You sometimes get mentally ill because you never bought our You Drive Me Crazy medication screwdriver from Safe Vibrations. This is a handy, useful, and simple tool to get your medications safely into your brain. It's the best thing on the market. It is even as effective as a hospital stay. Just hold the screwdriver to your ear, push the button, and in 3.78 seconds, you can put your favorite medication straight into your cerebral cerebellum without having to swallow a cup of water. Quit screwing around and call today for your own You Drive Me Crazy medication screwdriver. Offered now at $1,000 because we're thinking of you and you're thinking of us. Call Vibrations, save Vibrations today to stop screwing around and get safe. Safe Vibrations.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Why is the letter B so cool? Because it's in between AC. Did I get you with that one? So up next, we have the Jackson 5 singing ABC in lieu to my really bad joke.
You've been listening to Radio Moon on CKUT. For more information on Radio Moon or Forward House, please visit www.forwardhouse.org or you can call us at 514-488-9119. We'll be back with another episode next month on Thursday, March 17th from 2 to 3 p.m. We'll leave you today with a cheery Nirvana song, Scentless Apprentice. And here's Bianca with some fun facts about this tune.
Nirvana's Scentless Apprentice, the lyrics were based off of the book Perfume from 1985 by German writer Patrick, I might mess up this name, Patrick Süskind, one of Cobain's favorite books. The novel is set in France in the 18th century and tells the story of an orphan who is born with two really notable characteristics. He has an extraordinary sense of smell, but he himself gives off zero body odor of any kind. Let's give a listen to Scentless Apprentice by Nirvana.
We'll be right back. The National Greening Program, run by Tree Canada, is dedicated to planting seedling trees across Canada in BC, the Prairies, Ontario, Quebec, and the Atlantic. They prioritize planting on Indigenous and public lands and planting areas of natural and human-caused disturbance. The trees they plant help filter the air and water and sequester carbon, among other positive impacts. To learn more or get involved, go to treecanada.ca.
Good. Great. Not bad at all. A-okay. Tickety-boo. Fine, thanks. All good. It's going gangbusters. Just great. When people ask us how we're doing, we often say fine, even if it's not always the case. If you aren't fine, say something. To get help, call InfoSocial 811, because talking is the first step towards getting better. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
It's midnight at the Oasis. Got some two-bit card game to play. And it's pretty bright from the city lights, spin it midnight into the day. In the desert nights are colder than expected for this time, they say. But it's midnight at the Oasis, and I'm way too drunk to stay. Street, found a sister with nothing to wear. She got off a split shift and needed a lift, and there ain't much going down there. So I walked her home, pretended I wasn't interested in paying her fare. This midnight at the Oasis, and I'm way too drunk to care. Thank you.
afternoon. You're tuned to Butcher T's Noontime Cuts, hitting every Friday from noon to 2, playing you a wide variety of music just to make your afternoon delight just right. So stay locked to CKT 90.3 FM.